Bibles open to Romans 1. Let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless this time as we study His Word. God, we are so grateful and thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for the Bibles that we hold in our hands that speak to us truth, that may challenge our thinking, may challenge our attitudes. And for me, Lord, and for many of us in this room, that's a good thing. We need to be challenged. We need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit to live godly lives. So as we read this area of text, I pray, God, that we would see the truth, the powerful truth that Paul presents to us, and that we would embrace this truth, and it would really cause us to be ready to share the good news and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ that delivers us from these things. God, you're such an awesome and good God. We want to say thank you to you this morning for your faithfulness to us. In the midst of a crazy world, you are always the same, and we can always trust you. So as we study your word, as you tell us to do, I pray that you would speak to each and every one, that you would move us closer to you this morning, Lord, that we would not walk in our ways, but walk in your ways, that we would not walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. That's why we've come. So bless this time as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it out loud. Are you a child of God? And if you don't know, or if you didn't say yes, being a child of God is someone that has surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the lordship of Jesus, surrendered our will for his will. Once you pray that prayer, that sinner's prayer, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus is the Savior. I accept him as my Messiah. That moment, you become a child of God. And as children, we possess certain privileges, wouldn't you agree? As we find in the Word of God, the promises that are written in the Scriptures, those are ours too, because we belong to him. We are in Christ. If you're here this morning and when I ask that question, you're like, I don't think I am. I don't think I've done this, or I don't think I've done that. See, it's not a doing. It's a being. It's being in Christ. It's accepting his sacrifice to take away our sin. And many of the songs we sang this morning spoke of that position that we have in Christ. And I want to say this morning, it's a good place to be. Wouldn't you agree? It's a good place to be. As a child of God, in the family of God. We are brothers and sisters if we are children of God. And we're, as family, as your own family, nurtures each other, cares for each other, loves on each other. We're to do the same thing in the body of Christ. But not only in the family, we should also think about those who are outside the family, those who don't believe, those who haven't accepted Jesus. And if we truly understand, which I think we will understand a little bit more, how blessed we are to be children of God, it should motivate us to think about those in our lives that have not yet surrendered to Christ, because they too need to experience the blessings that we have. And that's what we find in chapter 1, verse 18. Paul kind of shifts gears and gets very blunt and very specific. We're only going to look at 6 verses, but they're powerful verses that I believe remind us that we are children of God. And the blessing that we have as children of God. Hopefully this thing will work. There we go. Because we are blessed to be a child of God. And maybe we, in this life that we're living, maybe we sometimes forget that. When difficulties come in our lives, when pain or suffering or sickness or death, we can get so discouraged. But even in the midst of all of those things, when we remember who we belong to, when we remember what our final destination is, man, what a blessing it is to be a child of God. So let's encourage each other in that way. You know, if one of us is down, if one of us is discouraged, let's remind each other, you belong to Jesus. That's the hope that we have when we go through certain trials, that God is there with us. It's not always easy, is it? No. But God is always there for us. The gospel can reach, I want to remind us all this, the gospel can reach anyone, everyone, everywhere. He reached us, right? He got a hold of us. And if he can save us, he can save anybody, right? And that's how the Apostle Paul felt, because he knew that the salvation that came to him set him on a new path. And he wanted everyone to know that truth. And so we should feel the same way. This morning, we're going to be talking about the wrath of God. And when I speak of the wrath of God, are you fearful? Fearful of the wrath of God? Anyone? Afraid of God's wrath? Okay. But should we be? Does the wrath of God come to the body of Christ? Does it come to a child of God? I believe we've been delivered from the wrath of God. And that's why I've titled this message, Blessed to Be a Child of God, because the wrath of God is not upon us. The wrath of God is upon those who reject Jesus Christ, who don't believe in God. Yes, we can be fearful of the wrath of God, but we also need to rejoice. Thank you, Lord, that you've delivered me from the wrath of God. And I'll say this. I deserve the wrath of God. We deserve it, but because of what Jesus did, it's erased, it's removed. And again, when we think about the wrath of God, we should think about those who are not children of God. They will experience the wrath of God. That's how serious it is. I remember very distinctly, and I've shared this in the past, at a senior pastor's conference, Calvary Chapel Senior Pastor's Conference, one of the pastors there, I think it was after 9/11, he got up and he was sharing that his team, his church, was on the ground, you know, what did they call that? Ground zero. At the moment that those things happened, and the ministry that took place. And he literally said within a week, I think it was within a week, my details might be a little bit off, but he said within a week, 1,500 people gave their lives to Christ. Now, this is a room filled with senior pastor and senior leadership. And we all sat there. And I will never forget what that man just said. Did you not hear what I just said? I said 1,500 souls that were destined for hell are now going to heaven. And I will never forget that. That reality, that salvation, is something to be celebrated. I felt so convicted that we all didn't go, praise the Lord. All of heaven rejoices when one gets saved. The body of Christ certainly should rejoice when 1,500 get saved. Because it's a good thing, my friends. It's a good thing. So as we look at the wrath of God, we don't look at it and go, oh no, unless we're not certain that we're children of God. I love the fact that the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, these are Gentile believers in Rome, he's writing to them, this is what you've been saved from. God saves us from the wrath of God because of what Jesus has done. And my friends, this is the greatest news on the face of the planet. Look with me in verse 18. Just looking at the first two verses, don't read on. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all godliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. As we're talking about being blessed to be a child of God, the first thing I see in these two verses as we're talking about the wrath of God is the fact that we avoid the wrath of God as believers. But isn't this a strong truth? Isn't this a powerful scripture? When we read this, we think, oh no, the wrath of God, if I do anything ungodly, if I do anything unrighteously. Do any of us do that as believers? Do we ever live ungodly? Do we ever live unright? Certainly, right? No, let's not share testimonies of those things. But let's thank God that the blood of Christ cleanses us from what? All unrighteousness. Boy, that's a good thing. So we can read the wrath of God and not be discouraged, but be encouraged that people need to hear this message. See, we live in a world, and we've been living in a world that's rejecting Christ. Rejecting Jesus. Why? Man's wisdom, man's thoughts, man's ways. That's what man wants to take the authority. And anytime I talk about or think about people surrendering their lives to Christ and why they wouldn't accept it, because wouldn't you admit it is the good news? It is the greatest news? I mean, salvation. By just simply believing, by abiding in Christ and trying to live a godly life, he gives you salvation and delivers you from the wrath of God. That's great news. But I found the reason people don't want to surrender to Christ is because they don't want to be accountable to him. Because the moment you say, I will follow you, the moment you say, I will surrender my life, guess what? We have to be accountable to the Word of God. We have to be accountable to the teachings and instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's accountability, isn't it? And as a family of God, we should hold each other accountable. Aren't you glad there's people in your life that hold you accountable? Left to ourselves, oh dear God, save us. Left to ourselves, but no, we encourage each other. That it's that accountability that God talks about. A few scriptures I want to share with us to remind us of where we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. See the contrast to what we just read? Where the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men? Well, guess what? Romans tells us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Aren't you glad that one day you'll stand before God and he'll say, why should I let you into heaven? And you'll say, because of what Jesus did. And Jesus will be standing there and goes, yep, I paid their price. We wear the righteousness of Christ. Oh, certainly we do unrighteous deeds. Certainly we live ungodly from time to time. But I pray that there's conviction. I'm thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for verses like this in the Bible that teach me and show me the riches that I have in Christ. I think we need to let people know about these things. The wrath of God is poured out and revealed to mankind because of our ungodliness and our unrighteousness. See, the wrath of God isn't something that God does to punish people. The wrath of God, listen, is justified, right? And as I said, none of us deserve salvation. We deserve the wrath of God because we didn't do anything to get saved. But God's wrath is for those who reject. God's wrath is for those who refuse to accept the truth. I would imagine most every single person in this room knows somebody that thinks you're crazy for being a Christian, right? And we don't think they're crazy for not being a Christian. We're sad for them because of the blessings that they could have if they accepted Christ. They don't want to accept the truth. They don't want to accept what the Bible tells us of who God is. I, for one, am very thankful that my eyes were open to the truth. My life, I say it all the time, my life has not been better since the day I gave my life to Christ. I lived a fairly good life beforehand. I wasn't a bad person. But man, the difference is very stark difference from when I lived for myself and when I lived for Jesus. I pray that's the way for all of us. And to know that we avoid the wrath of God. Few more verses, just again, just showing us and letting you know who you are in Christ. Romans chapter 8, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I love this verse. There's nothing you can do to stop God from loving you. Do you know that God loves the most ungodly person on the face of the planet right now? Loves them. Jesus died for them. Whether they accept him or not, that's in their, but he loves them. And so there's nothing you can do to stop God from loving you. So when you feel like God doesn't love you, guess what? You're believing a lie. Because God loves you and sent Jesus for you. Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. I love this too. Again, it shows you God's love for the world even when we're apart. And then the last one, 1 John. You can't talk about the love of God without speaking about 1 John, which I could have shared 20 verses out of that. In verse 4, chapter 4, verse 8 says, He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And I share these verses to contrast what we just read, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. God is not a wrathful God, right? Those of us who believe, we know that. We know he's not a wrathful God. But in his justification, he has to pour out his wrath upon the unbelieving world. And that is good news for us. Never forget that the wrath of God is completely righteous. God is completely righteous in his character. Look with me in verse 16 and 17. We looked at this last week. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So Paul is speaking again to the Gentiles in Rome. He's speaking to them about salvation in Christ and the many blessings that come. And in contrast to that, he says, "But I also need to let you know about the wrath of God." Is salvation even worth it if we don't realize how much we've been saved from? Think about that for a second. How much God saved you from should remind us of how blessed we are as his kids. Eternity in hell saved us from that. Saved us from ourselves. To think of all that God saved us from. See, look at this statement. Unless there is something to be saved from, there is no point in talking about salvation. You have been saved by the grace of God, saved from his wrath, saved from eternal separation from God. Do we take salvation lightly? Do we take it for granted? Man, I hope every day we wake up and we say, "Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me from myself." We've avoided his wrath. I also want to talk about the seriousness of sin. The Bible says the consequences of sin is what? Death. Death. I fully saw this in physical form when my brother passed away of cancer. Not to say my brother was sinful. Well, not to say my brother died because he's a sinner. I don't want you to think that. But I witnessed the effects of sin on humankind, on mankind. Cancer depleted that man of life. And when I witnessed that, God reminded me the consequences of sin is death. And the ugliness of sin. And to understand how much God has saved us from. He has saved us from the penalty of sin. Listen, we may die, right? We may die on this earth, but we live on the other side, right? Those who believe, children of God, we live forever. I say it all the time. I'll never die. I may die physically, but my spirit's going to live forever. My soul goes on. I will continue with God. And so seeing my brother in that state just showed me a picture of what sin must look like in some senses to God. As he's looking down saying, "I gave my son so that you wouldn't have to suffer like that. I gave my son so you wouldn't have to die a pitiful death." Don't forget what salvation has done. Satan's big lie to you and me is you don't need salvation. You can save yourself. That's what he's telling the world. You don't need God. You don't need to believe in him. You can do it. Just work hard. How hard do you have to work to get to heaven? Anybody know? Pretty hard. You got to be sinless. So we all failed already. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. He goes on in verse 19, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." How have we seen God? Again, outside of being a Christian, how have we seen God? To me, as we look around at his creation, that's what it's talking about. God said, this is me. This shows you that I exist. I don't know if you've ever seen this. This is from 2004. It's a documentary. It's called The Privileged Planet. And it literally, if I'm getting this right, I believe it was a scientist or very smart people that were studying the universe and the planets. And they didn't believe in God. But the more they studied, the earth, the more they studied the universe and the galaxies, the more they came to realize this could not have happened by accident. There's no way this could happen. And I encourage you, again, it's old, it's not the best quality, but the content is amazing if you have an opportunity to watch it. It says, it shows that the earth was placed in such a place in the universe that there's no doubt God had a special purpose for the earth. And one thing that always got me about it is like, I don't even have the capacity to think like these guys, but they thought the earth is really the only planet that you can stand on and has a clear atmosphere that you can see the rest of the galaxy, the universe. I mean, who would have thought of that? I mean, if you were born on Saturn, you'd never know there was anything but Saturn because you can't see through its atmosphere. I mean, just little things. That's a smart person thinking. And to realize that God put us on earth with a clear atmosphere so that we would see out into the universe and go, wow. To think that all this happened by accident. Did anybody get to see the solar eclipse? I don't even remember what year it was. That solar eclipse that was that not one of the most fascinating things? I was in absolute awe of watching that. And in Privileged Planet, they speak about the solar eclipse. And how it's all set perfectly so it would reveal some design to it. But that solar eclipse was something that was so amazing. And when you look at that, you can't help, I couldn't help but think, God, you're amazing. I didn't think, oh, evolution, you're amazing. What a great accident, this is beautiful. No, I attribute it to God. And as believers, isn't that what we should do in our lives, is to attribute the things that God has done in our lives? I think so. I'm thankful for the things that God has done in my life. And the last verse, and I love this verse, and I didn't realize it until I studied it this week. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's enough, really. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. In other words, he created it. Look at this, though. Day unto day utter speech. And night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. If you really think about these verses, what it's saying is God's creation during the day speaks of God, and at night it speaks of God. I mean, look up, if you've ever been in a place like Colorado where there's no lights around, no lights from the earth, and how many bazillions of stars there are out there, it's absolutely amazing. And what this verse is saying, it all speaks of who God is. It reveals who the Lord is. And for us who believe, we might look around. I mean, today, what a beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. Right? I mean, it could have been miserable, cold, rain. And we attribute these things to God. Because God's handiwork and his creation speaks of who he is. I'm a firm believer that we're going through life so fast that we're not taking the time to go, God, look what you did. Cindy Granda, you're probably one of the best people for taking pictures of sunrises and sunsets. Not sure why she has to take 10 shots of it every time, but just in case she misses 1 second of it. But that's the reality. You know, every once in a while I'll go, oh, wow, what a great sunset. But I think you go out and look for them every day. Again, looking for God's handiwork, it speaks of who he is. And I'm thankful for one, that we believe that God did all this. That God did all this. The second thing, not only do we see that we avoid the wrath, but we see his handiwork, as I just spoke of. But look at verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, I didn't speak of it, and I apologize. But in these verses, don't miss the fact that the Apostle Paul goes from saying you to them and they and there It's so stark contrast. Everything we've been talking about now, he's talking about you. You this. You have received salvation through Jesus Christ. You have been blessed. The just shall live by faith. And now all of a sudden, in this section, he's talking about they and them. That's why I believe Paul is saying the unbelieving world out there is the one that receives the wrath of God, not children of God. And in this, we see that he's saying creation reveals God. And as I said, we should be able to look around and see the works of God. Pretty much everybody in this room has a cell phone. Would any of us think when they took our phone out of our hands, man, this is amazing that this just evolved all by itself? Right? Think about that. That's what they're saying about our universe. That's what they're saying about creation, that it happened by accident. Now, I'll admit our cell phones are pretty powerful, but I think our universe is a lot more powerful. And so the realization of what this is, that we as believers see his handiwork. Like I said, as Cindy looks at the sky and says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. It's everything that the Lord does. We need to watch for it and be thankful for it. And that's what he says. He says, you know what? God gave it out there for them. He showed it to them, but they rejected it. They didn't accept it as from God. Evolution is the greatest lie in all the world. The greatest lie. And that's what man does. They worship nature instead of worshiping God. Right? Mother Nature gave us a beautiful day today. Isn't that great? That just pushes God a little bit farther away. We need to bring him closer. And to be thankful. Notice it says, and look at verse 21. It's amazing. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. This made me start to think, as it said, they knew God. Although they knew God, they did not glorify God, nor were thankful, because they were futile in their thoughts. As we think about creation, I think about Adam and Eve. They walked with God. They saw God. They talked to God. Right? So certainly as they got out of the Garden of Eden, they certainly told their kids, hey, we know God. So there was a revelation of who God was. And then, of course, the flood came. Talk about God's wrath, right? God starts over. But then there's Noah and his family. Can you imagine the stories around dinner time at Noah's time? Hey, kids, I spent 120 years building a boat. Didn't know what for, but I trusted in God. So they knew God, but they wanted to reject God. And even today, as we get farther and farther away from those things, we're losing the fact that I believe God told Noah to build a boat, and it took him 120 years. Talk about a long to-do list. Or a long thing, you know, a long project, house project. His wife must have been like, when are you going to finish the boat? Right? When has my wife ever given me 120 years to do anything, let alone 120 minutes? Last night we decorated our tree. And I'm not even kidding. I didn't think about this till just now. It's a beautiful tree. But literally she looked at me and she said, do you think we can do it in an hour? I'm like, I'm sure we can. Let's go. And it's just like, everything needs to be, get it done, right? Get it done. It's like, oh. I got to be careful right now. I really do. Oh. Boy, I'm really talking to the Lord right now. Like, what's that? Yeah, exactly. Even a fool is considered wise if he holds his tongue. So let me get some water. Come up to me afterwards. I'll share what I was thinking. But not only are we grateful at what God does, let's not forget to be thankful. I think that's the hardest thing for me in that verse. And nor were they weren't thankful. Man, are we so thankful for God? I mean, we're just coming off Thanksgiving, right? So we're in that mode of Thanksgiving. But, many of us in this room have been praying for little Ford Donegan, and had a successful surgery. And we're like, thank God. That's what I love when we get that news. We're all saying, thank God, praise God. God is faithful. It's always thanking him. Yes, we're the ones that prayed, but we're believing in God to do the work, so we thank God. Don't forget to be thankful. I think it's important. And then thirdly and lastly, in verse 22, I love this. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, the birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So they rejected God, but yet they create these idols to worship. God's knit in us to worship something. If you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping something. It could be a person, could be a position, could be many things. But we're here to worship God, and that's the last thing. As believers, as children of God, we're blessed because we worship a living God, the living God, I'll even change it to. We worship a living, not a thing, not a place. How many times do we say that here? We're here because of Jesus. We're gathered in this garage on a cold morning because of Jesus. And that's who we worship. He loves us. He loves his children. And we get to worship him. They rejected that. They rejected the worship of the Lord. We all know that we all have consequences to our mistakes, correct? We can look at it back at our past and we're thankful that God forgave us for certain things that we did, for certain choices that we made. But there's still, we live with consequences. We live with those things, but we serve and worship a God who helps us and works all things out for good, right? As long as we're called according to his purposes. So he's working those things. So whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're praying about God, trust that he'll work good out of it. And ultimately, we all get to leave this place. We get to leave this tent, and we get to be with the Lord forever. Consequences are real, but God is good. It is absolutely essential that we constantly compare our understanding of who God is to what the Word of God says God is. Let's be careful that we don't turn God into what we want, the God that we want, that we're worshiping the true God. His way is better, right? His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. His ways are greater than our ways. His will is better than our will. And if we truly want that, then sometimes, guess what? We're going to get something that we don't want. But if we really want his will, then we accept it and know that it's better and trust him for that. The best thing about being a child of God is we don't experience his wrath. He gives us salvation. We live forever, and we get to worship him. That, to me, as we look at this text, and it's going to get a little bit darker as we go on through this chapter. But I read this text, and it encourages me to think about the people in my life that are going to experience the wrath of God unless they accept Jesus as Savior. And that's their choice. I don't feel responsible, but I'm going to do everything I can to represent Christ in my life to them and help them in their time of need, because that's how God works. Something happens in their life, and then you're the one they call, and then your faith has to encourage them during that time. We are truly blessed to be children of God. So as we enter into this time of communion now, let's go before the Lord with that heart, with that thankful heart that you've saved us from so much, Lord. We thank you for salvation because it shows us the things that you saved us from. And let's encourage each other in these days to keep the faith. Amen? So let's close in prayer, and then I'm going to have the guys hand out the elements. Father, how grateful we are that the Word of God does not water down the fact that there's a wrath side to your character and justified at that. Lord, every single one of us in this space, and even those online, realize that we deserve the wrath of God. We have done nothing for salvation other than accepted you. And there's nothing that we can do to make our salvation any more valuable. Lord, our desire is to just live holy. Instead of the ungodliness and unrighteousness, we want to live godly and we want to live righteously. We want to live godly before you and righteously before men, which is living right, doing right. So God, we pray as we enter into this time of communion, as we remember what you've done for us, Lord Jesus, that first and foremost, we would be thankful for the salvation that we've all accepted. And pray, God, that that salvation will motivate us to be disciples and to make disciples of Christ. The Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. And Lord, we know we can't do that in our strength, but I pray that you would give us the words and the actions to reveal to the unbelieving world around us who we belong to. God, we're so thankful that you saved us. We are so thankful that we will not experience the wrath of God. Oh, we might experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We might experience the chastening of the Lord. But as amazing and as powerful as your glory must be, we know that your wrath must also be equally powerful. So help us, Lord. I pray for anyone in this room or in the hearing of my voice, if they are not convinced and confident that they are a child of God because of their commitment to Christ and their faith in Christ, Lord, that today would be that day that they open their hearts to you. They invite you in, that you would save them, God, and seal them to the day of your return. That we would spend eternity in your presence, worshiping you, glorifying you. Bless this day. Bless your name and your word, for you are worthy of our praise. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.